Howdy! Thanks for tuning into Orion Photo Group's exclusive podcast. For each episode, we're going to dive into the lives of OPG's photographers and videographers across the country. We're going to talk shop, hear their stories, and listen to any advice they want to offer us up. So grab a tasty beverage and settle in for some fun conversations featuring our little community. That's you. Let's go! I am here with a veteran OPG photographer, and I'm excited. I'm not going to introduce you yet. I want to say this is about our sixth or seventh or maybe eighth episode that we're recording. I'm very excited for this guest. And for those of you tuning in, welcome to this week's episode of Success Stories. Should have started with that, should have led with that, but we're figuring this as we go, and this is meant to be a great conversation. I am here today with Terry Roper. I did say your last name correct, right?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, nailed it. I am classic for starting these interviews and butchering the names, and that should be a pro, should be getting this stuff right from the beginning. Anyway, I'm here with Terry Roper, who's based in the Chicago area, and she is a veteran in our industry. We're going to get into how long she's been a photographer for, but she's a very, very talented photographer. I'm really excited that we finally connected. We've had to go back and forth a few times, and I'm so glad that you're here. So, Terry, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Yeah, and it's funny, with all the people that we've been interviewing, when I've mentioned to during our meetings in the offices, I said, oh, I'm going to interview Terry today. And everybody, nobody could say, like, everyone was so excited.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah. So I'm going to lead with, and then I want to find out more about you, but like, I need to lead with the fact that, and I think we told you this when we got together during the photo walk, Terry has photographed the most weddings for the Orion Photo Group than any other photographer in our talent network since the beginning. So I was told that I needed to do this for you to start and you know, to say thank you from all the owners and everybody that's ever worked with you.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I love the company. I just can't say enough good things about the company.
That's great. And yeah. And when we set up this interview, I had no idea about that. So you have photographed, you're coming up on close to 500 weddings with us. I think the number I have here, which I got to verify, is it says 460 that you've done in the past, and you did seven. Is this correct? Did you shoot 79 this year?
No. Hasn't been 79. It's been close to 50.
Okay.
I think.
Okay. Okay. And then I'm looking at it and it says this field is not correct. So you're right. And I see my video stopped. I'm still here.
Yes.
So I'm going to shut my video off real quick so you can see me. It might happen a few times, but I'll just restart it. So, I'm sorry. So 50, that's still quite a lot of weddings.
It's a lot. It's been awesome. It was over 50 because last year I think I had 55 weddings.
My gosh.
And then this year I had even more. So last year was my second all-time most weddings I've ever shot in a year. And then this year, I think it's just about that as well.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's great that you're able to do that much work. And, you know, from where we sit, we thank you for that. That's amazing. I'm curious if you know off the top of your head, what was the most you've ever done in a year for us? Just ballpark.
I want to say I think last year was 55.
Wow. That's just crazy. That's absolutely crazy. But great. So let's find out a little bit more about you. So I usually like to start off with, you know, a little bit of an origin story. How did you get involved in photography? And, you know, what was the spark?
Well, I've been photographing since I was a kid.
Okay.
So it wasn't quite the dark ages, but slapping at myself.
I'm with you.
So I was always like the kid. My dad was an amateur photographer. So I would always borrow his cameras, and I was like the geeky kid running around the neighborhood asking like, hey, can I take your portrait? So I would just go to my neighbors and I was in my tweens, and I would just go to my neighbors And I would just say, can I take your portrait? So I kind of taught myself how to do portraits. And then it was one where I would then get the film developed, and then I would take it to like the neighborhood camera store. And then the guy behind the counter was a photographer. And so he would like give me pointers on how to like make it better, how to do it. But I mean, I was like taking like the room lamps and using that to make like lighting and just like just really teaching myself about it. So I always just, and my reason for starting was because I loved looking through my grandparents' old photo albums, you know, like with all the old black and whites. And I would look at these people who were my ancestors who I never got to meet. And I was thinking, wow, this is just so awesome that through the mystery and the, you know, everything about photography, I can actually see these people that I'll never meet, these moments in time that will never happen again. So to me, that was why I love photography, is because we get to take these moments. I mean, it's an honor, actually, that we see these moments, you know, like at a wedding, and that people are talking to each other that may haven't seen each other in for like a year, and we get to, our job is to be able to see that, to, you know, to know those the players, and then to capture those moments so that people from generations that aren't even here yet can look at those and know those people and know, kind of get a feeling for what happened that day.
And it's so, that's amazing. And I find it so interesting how many of us got involved because our parents may have had an interest in photography. My dad was an amateur photographer for many years. He was pretty good.
Oh, cool.
And it was the same thing. Like, he would take pictures and we would look at slides on the projector. Now that's, you know, I mean, there was nothing better than like an evening with the family with a brand new slide. We set up the projector and we look at the pictures and it was really great. And, you know, I've become a teenager, you're like, Dad, this is so boring, but that's what we would do. Like, that was a Saturday night and we look at pictures. And then when I got, you know, again, like a tween, allowed me to start taking pictures out. We had a cabin upstate and he used to let me go out and take pictures in the woods. And that was kind of how, you know, I got my start too.
And oh, very cool.
Yeah. And I said, it's funny. I still have some of those pictures printed that I printed in high school on mat board, and they sit in a portfolio in the basement now. But, and then you kind of also talked about like how, you would look at old pictures of your parents and grandparents, and, you know, that was the history of how you learned from your family. That's a whole other thing that I want to unpack, how, like, the importance of those printed things and how important, like, that's how you show this stuff to your kids as opposed to putting it on your phone. I was just at a wake back in New York, just last week, and one of the people that came to the wake was there with their kids, and I photographed their wedding. And I mean, I photographed their wedding 20 years ago. And she said, "Hey, do you remember me?" And it was an old friend from high school. His father passed away, and they had all these pictures, some of them that I had taken. And she said, "When we came to the wake, I showed them pictures that you shot at the wedding." She knew who these people were, and it really meant a lot to me, and how important that was. And so, my kids love to look at my wedding album. So it, that's interesting, the importance that you have in that, and that's really cool. So you started taking pictures. Was there any formal training to go to college, or what happened after that?
Oh yeah, I have my degree is in I have a bachelor's in photography.
Okay.
So I went to Columbia College for a year.
Okay.
And then because I lived in the suburbs, my dad had to like pick me up, because at that time Columbia College didn't have dorms. Like, my son goes there now.
Okay.
And they have dorms and everything. But at that time, then after my first year, my dad said, "Well, we can either build you a dark room at home, because it, you know, I'd be there for hours, or you can go away to school." Well,
that sounds like a tough decision.
Yeah. I don't even know if it took me like 30 seconds to go, "Okay, I'll go away to school." And I could have done that in the very beginning, but Columbia College is such a great school. I just can't say enough good things about it. But given that choice, like, I just loved being in the dark room. And then I was like, yeah, I'll go 6 hours away. And, you know.
Okay. Columbia College, that's in Missouri, isn't it?
No, that's Chicago.
Okay.
That's in downtown Chicago. So the whole school is like all throughout the Chicagoland area.
Oh,
well,
okay.
A particular part around Michigan Avenue. So a lot of the, I've worked with a lot of photographers and videographers who also went to Columbia College. Chicago. Okay.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
It's a big art school.
Yeah. So you're Chicago based, born and bred, right?
No. I'm in Nebraska. I grew up in Nebraska.
Oh, that's right. We touched on that during the photo walk. I forgot about that. Right. Okay. Yeah, so you moved from the farms of Nebraska out to the big city.
Yeah. Well, we lived in Omaha. My family is from the farms. Yeah. Yeah. We were big city people.
Okay. Like Omaha's actually a pretty cool city.
We would go out to visit my family in the farm. Little segue, and they would laugh at us because we would lock our car doors when we like got to their house, and they're like, "You guys realize we're in the middle of nowhere?" And it's like, "We're from Chicago. We're gonna lock our car doors." So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's funny. so you went to college. Out of college, was wedding photography what you wanted to do, or like what was the spark? Where did you go from there?
Not at all. And I tell my clients this because my husband's also a photographer.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So when we met, we were both photographers, and we merged our businesses together. So I forgot where I was going to go with that, but we have our own business. So I tell our clients this because I think it's kind of funny. Is when I got out of school, you know, I was an artist. I was a photo artist.
Yeah, you were.
So doing like weddings was like never in my mind. I studied studio photography, fashion photography. My first job I got was working in advertising and marketing, doing product photography. Yep. So, I was, an artist. my goal was to do gallery work, which I've done gallery work. And I eventually, someday, my goal is to create a photo book or numerous photo books. But anyway, so I had a friend and I also worked for different talent agencies and stuff like that, but I was never a wedding photographer. And I had some friends of mine who appreciated my artistic side and said, "Hey, can you shoot our wedding just like if you were photographing for Life magazine? Pretend like you're like, we'll do your Annie Leibovitz style, whatever you want to do. Like, we just want you to do it." Uh-huh. So because of them, and I love them so much, I said, "Okay, I'll photograph your wedding, but I have no experience to do this. I'm going to do it my way. And I'm not going to do it how everyone else does it."
Right.
And so they said, "That's awesome. That's great. And so I just got that taste of that one wedding, and I was like, "Holy cow, this is fun! Huh. I love this. I loved everything about it." And so then I started my journey in doing weddings. But I just have to laugh at myself, and because I was never going to shoot a wedding.
and I think there's a lot of us out there, especially around our ages. Like, what I found interesting was there was such a stigma in the 70s, 80s, and 90s about wedding photographers. And not wrong in that sense too. Like, the stigma was pretty much what it was. And, it was almost looked at like, well, you shoot weddings, you've kind of failed it as a photographer. And then something happened in the mid-90s, something changed. I think it was the access to shooting images and photography became cool. And then there were photojournalist photographers, and things really, really changed. So it's funny to talk to you and say, like, I was the same way. I went to FIT in New York City. I wanted to be a fashion photographer. I was going to be a commercial artist. I wanted to be the next Annie Leibovitz or Richard Avedon. Yes. And, studied their work and was in New York City and wanted to be. And I did. And when I got out of college, I did that. I did a lot of that work while I was a little bit different, where I started working for a local wedding photographer when I was in high school, and I just always worked with him. Like, my friends were flipping burgers during the weekends to make money so they could be in college, and I was shooting weddings. So I was making bank back then, as a 17, 18 year old shooting weddings. It was so much more money than I could make, doing anything else. But the work was grueling, and it was really hard. Because it was technically very, very hard to do. But it was interesting. Like, I'm never going to be a wedding photographer. That's terrible. And everybody that I would shoot weddings, like, my college, this is a funny, I'm sorry, this is supposed to be, I got to share it with you. I was in college, and my college professor was the head photographer for the New York Ballet. And that's all he did. And he somehow took a liking to me. And I went to a bunch of ballets with him, and was a really, really great guy and really great mentor. But then his daughter got engaged and he knew that I shot weddings, and I shot the wedding and he was like, you should do nothing else. Forget all of this fashion stuff. Forget everything else. He says, you have a talent for this. And I was like, bah, I'm never going to be a wedding photographer full time. Here we are today, 35 years later, right? So, okay. Yes. So you started shooting, and that was your spark. You started shooting weddings, and yes. The rest is kind of history from there. And how many years yes. has it been total?
I think their wedding was like 30 years ago. I was trying to figure out today, like when they got married, I think it was like the early 90s.
Wow.
Early 90s. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so it was that from it. But I still kept, and I figured you'll appreciate this. Because you, during the last webinar that you had, you talked about the Holga camera. So they had a different version of that, the same plastic lens. Oh, no, it was the Holga, because it was...
The Holga was a plastic lens.
Yeah, but, or was it the Diana? I was trying to think. So I think I had the Holga. So I shot weddings with the Holga. I shot wedding. I wanted to do pinhole photography at weddings, which I thought would be really cool to kind of create my own thing. And then I shot recording film, because of course I processed all my own film.
Wow.
Did you ever? Yeah. So I processed all my own black and white film. Uh-huh. I hand printed on fiber-based paper.
Wow.
All my own prints. So I was so thankful. And then I had a baby. So yep. then I was very glad for digital. I really like bought kicking and screaming. I didn't want the switch, but then, you know, it's like, wow, okay, I'll give up all the hours in the dark room and that just become the lab, but without being in the dark room.
Yeah. And I want to talk about that switch too. But for those of you who, may not know a pin, like I want to unpack some of that. So like a pinhole camera was generally something that you built and made on your own, like from an oatmeal box or a box. I remember I bought like a handmade wooden box that was a pinhole camera that accepted 4x5 backs on it. I still have it somewhere. I absolutely loved doing it. And what you would do is the camera lens itself was literally a pinhole. And depending on how big that hole was how long you needed to leave your exposure on. Generally, it was about a minute in bright sunlight, longer if it was darker. It was always kind of like a complete experiment when you did it. But the images were very ghostly and pretty and not super sharp. And when those latent images came up in your darkroom tray, it was just so cool, especially when you really got cool. it right.
Yes.
I don't remember exactly what recording film was. Was it a very low ISO?
No, it was very high ISO. Okay. So what it was spy film.
Mm.
So the story behind it is it was spy film. And so the grain structure was really, it was different from like 3200 because that was like more of a structured grain structure. This was like all over. And it was really like, you know, because it's what they use to do surveillance.
Right.
But then they sold it to like the general public. And it was a really contrasty high ISO. And I don't know how I got these clients, but I would tell them, I'd be up front with them saying, you know, cause they knew I was the artist.
Okay.
You know, so okay. I did all the other stuff that I was going to do to get them like their, you know, so like all the parents, cause I'm, you know, want to make sure the parents are, you know, happy and get their post portraits. But then to satiate my creativity, I'm like, I'm just going to do this and it's just gonna be like a bonus. So if you don't like it, you don't have to use it, but it's just really, really cool stuff. And I think my enthusiasm on it just kind of like, they were like, oh wow, they're getting something so cool and unique and special and somebody who really loves it. And they want to do it and they want to create something really different and unique from their friends.
And then
that's what the grain structure was different.
So okay, gotcha.
I would shoot it like at that time, like 6,400. And then I would process
ISO.
It. So you'd have to kind of, I'm trying to remember now, I probably did like a short water bath in it in between the developing so I could bring in some of like the shadows. So it wasn't quite so high.
Oh yeah. So you probably used like a low grain developer.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the developer
like
I used
Ektol
for
that. Or what was the one? Anyway, we could get caught up in the weeds in that. And then also printing on fiber-based paper was very difficult. When you got it right, it was absolutely beautiful. And the clients that have those prints from you, they're probably still as beautiful as they are to the day you printed them. That's such a lost art, as far as I'm concerned, like that darkroom printing. I was never really into darkroom so much. One of my early sparks is I loved working in the darkroom because I could smoke cigarettes in there. And this is going back to high school. Like, I don't know. I think about it now and I'm like, they let me smoke in the darkroom in college too. Like, it was crazy. But outside of that, I didn't really like the darkroom too much. It really wasn't my jam. I think also because of that, there were these crazy resources in New York City that you could go to, and what they could do with you. Like, there were these labs in New York where you could only go in. It was an invite only. So like a photographer had to recommend you to be a client of these people, and they would only take you if they approved your portfolio. Like, it was nuts. Like, and they were just crazy, crazy black and white labs in New York. And there was a very small window that they worked well. But okay, so then you made the move to digital. And I always love to ask what your first digital camera was and what that was like.
It was a Fuji.
S2.
Was that the first one?
Well, it was S1.
I think we got the Fuji S1s. And our friend, Larry, who we knew from a long time ago, is, I think he still is, like, the Fuji rep. So he talked, because they were Nikon, because my husband and I are both Nikons.
Okay.
So he like had the in on us, you know, didn't help with pricing. You know, we still had to pay the price, but he would he showed us these cameras. It was the first one I saw that I really liked the black and white on, because that was kind of the one that I had to make sure, if I'm going to give up my darkroom, I want to make sure the black and whites look good on it. And this was like, gosh, early 2000s.
Early 2000s.
Like, way early. Like, yeah. We were it was really, really early. So yeah, it was on a Nikon body.
Okay.
So that made it so it was like easier to use.
Yep.
And the flesh tones look good. But now I think about, what we have now is so much different, just night and day.
I remember correcting those Fuji S2 skin tone files, and it was just, it was the best looking file, but it was also the worst looking file if it was under the wrong lighting situation. And
oh my gosh,
God,
yes.
That tiny little viewfinder on the back of it, but it was a fast camera. And the only reason that I know it's early 2000s, because it's literally next to me, is an old Nikon D70. That I've been trying to get rid of. I can't get rid of it. Like, and I can't throw it in the garbage. It's been sitting over here. And on top of that is my Nikon F5. And I can't get rid of that one either. And I would love to sell it to somebody who wants to buy it. And it's theirs. So if your husband or you want to buy it, let's talk after this conversation.
Oh my gosh. And you wouldn't believe, because like my son goes on Columbia College. And he's a film editor. I'm not segueing to him, but... he's retro because he shoots film.
Let's talk after. Because if your son will use his camera, let's talk after. Because I would love to see this go to do. I just pulled the batteries in. It works. It's perfect condition. And it was a tank for me back in the day. So yeah, moving to digital was a tough one, especially if you were a darkroom person as well.
Yes.
But we're getting close to the end. So I want to touch on some OPG stuff too. So I can't believe we went 23 minutes on this stuff, but that's awesome. Working for OPG, and as somebody like yourself, the first question I want to ask is there some advice you could give to somebody who's it's long into the season, and you've done 10, 15 jobs. How do you, you seem to always have a great attitude. Like, what do you do to keep fresh and keep going?
Oh boy, that's a good question.
I know that's a hard one to hit you with.
Yeah, because I want to say part of it is because I'm a little bit more seasoned in life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put that.
Yeah.
So you learn a lot as that happens. But also, I just really learned that when you go to shoot a wedding, it's not about me as the photographer. It's their day. So I always have to remember and go, okay, this is about them. And now I've got all these tools that I know how to use. And so, that you're there to do that. Like when you can have a conversation as you're changing your settings on your camera, because you already know in your mind how you're going to shoot. You're already like three steps ahead of of where you need to be, because we know that timeline, or at least I, for me, that's how I work. I know that timeline, and I'm a detail person. So I think it's just, I always have to remember that it's their day. This is their, you know, because I was like, I've never done this, because I'll ask a question to me, which is like, you know, like a seemingly normal question, like, but I've never done this before. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're absolutely right. So I just have to go, this is their time. And, you know, even though the divorce rate is what, 50-50, they could, but this, for this particular day, this is going to be like a day that they want to remember forever. And hopefully it'll be on the 50% that stay married, but I just want them to, you know, hopefully, I always say, I just want them to not have photography be the stressful part of the day. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Because, you know, so you hear about so many photographers that do this or do that. And I always say, I always let them know, because I'm a detailed person. So when I talk to them, regardless if they're like my clients or OPGs, I always find out the details. So the day of, I don't have to ask any like embarrassing questions, though that still happens, you know, but I just want it to be so I know ahead, so that the photography is not stressful. It's just like, go do what you need to do, and I'll do my job to make your life easier that day. I don't want it to ever look back and go, oh my gosh, that, you know, I mean, that's going to inevitably happen because, you know,
yeah,
but I just want it. That's how I go in like fresh, because I have to remind myself every time that I'm blessed to have this job. I'm blessed to be able to go in there and do that. And it's not something that I've always had. I mean, it's just a constant, you know, and some days are, you know, you
I do
aren't always like that. You can have like something happens right beforehand, but you just kind of have to go, well, now I get a reprieve from all that, because I get to go in and I get to have fun and I get to have a backstreet entrance to like do whatever I want to do. I mean, like I go to a hotel and I can literally go anywhere because I'm the photographer. I can do anything. I can go backstage. I can step up on the stage and nobody's going to like Terry get down from there. They're like, yay, she's up on the stage taking photos. You know, I mean, so I mean, it's fun. I get to, you know.
So I know what the answer is for you. You still treat it like you're almost in a childish way, like yes, from yes. kids' eyes, that you treat it like, you know, like as a kid going into it each eye, and that's what keeps it fresh for you.
Yes.
But the maturity part of it too, I think is really an important thing to touch on, because I know as photographers getting through those first couple of jobs, the first year, the first 5 years, you're still very much in a learning process. You're learning how to read people. Totally. You're learning how to get through the job and trying to do the best job that you possibly can. But at a certain point, there's certain parts of it that go on autopilot, like walking, right? You know what's coming next. In a Catholic church, you know exactly how the ceremony is going to go. You know how certain things. So it removes that barrier for you to free you up to think about other things. What creative shots can I get? Can I stand on a stage? Then that's your challenge, right? And staying fresh from that perspective. And then also, I think from a maturity standpoint, you understand how important the day that you're doing. You understand that people will be looking at your pictures 20 years from now, and also remove yourself from that situation in the sense that you're doing the best thing that you can. And I think what earlier photographers do is they internalize so much of it about like, oh my God, their timeline wasn't on time. And now the day is just falling apart. I'm not going to be able to get any good shots. You're at a point in your career where you're like, if I don't get any great shots today, I'm just going to do the best job I can covering this wedding. You're not concerned about getting the most important shots you've ever took in your career. And I think that's what a lot of early photographers do. And they're always looking for the most important shots, as opposed to making sure that they're serving their clients in the way. And that's what you do. And I read your reviews, and that's exactly what I see, is the service that you put into your clients. That's why they love you so much, is because they know you know how to deal with the situation, what to do when something goes wrong. And I'm sure you're very much a calm person on the wedding day too.
I do hear that a lot. Yeah, I like to be like the calm in the storm, because you know, there's all this stuff going on, and these people have never been through anything like that before. Like, I, you know, like with the women getting dressed, they're 10 minutes behind, and they're absolutely panicking and apologizing to me. And I'm like, first of all, every wedding day has an ish to it, except for my start time. That does not have an ish, but everything else has an ish to it, and things are going to happen. And a lot of times, you know, you as a bride, you're not going to know because you're like the last person anybody wants to upset on a wedding day. But we all know this stuff. Yeah. And you have to be calm and just laugh and, you know, and just say, you'll still get married. But that's not, I mean, I don't really say that, you know, but I know.
Yep.
I've never had anybody run. I get that question a lot. I've never had that, but they so far they've all gotten married.
I've had a few, unfortunately, never make it to the wedding day, but never not show up at the wedding. I've been in the situation where they're like, I'm not going. And the, you know, the bridesmaids are all there and I'm like, I'm out of here. You know, like, this is a private conversation, but you're right. A lot of times people will be, and I think this is, maybe you can offer some advice on this too, is when things are going wrong, typically the bride or the bridesmaid or parents will be apologizing to you. I'm so sorry. This isn't going the way it wants to go. And you know, your response to that is so important. So talk to me about that. I think that's really important.
I just let them know that everything's okay. I mean, I let them know like, you know, everything has an ish to it. And this is not I know it feels like that. I'm a very empathetic person. So I'm like, I know that it may feel like it. So I just talk about their, because I'm a feeling person. So right. I mean, I talk in terms of feelings about stuff. So I just kind of calm them down and let them know it's going to be okay. It's normal. Every wedding is like this. They haven't been through it. I accept their apology, you know, even though if I haven't, just say like, thank you so much. Cause you know, they just want to be acknowledged that they've done something, you know, like said something, but it's okay. It's cool. We're all good. I've got it. You know, I know what's going to happen and it's all good. You know, we can't do the hugs anymore. So I give them like, you know, the old elbow and say, it's cool. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it'll happen. And then just, you know, you keep the smile and just, you know, kind of, so I will like during those formals, like a good example is like during those posed photos, that's always to me like the most chaotic time.
Yeah.
And I've got a system for it. And so I just stand there, like, I'm just so calm and people always come up to me afterwards, like uncles who like never talk. They just thank me for like how I handled that. And all I did was I just like, have no problem going, okay, you over there, like you with the bow tie, what's your name? Jason?
Yeah.
Can you just straighten that bow tie a little bit, move just a scooch over that way. Perfect. As long as you can see me, I can see you. So, I mean, that type of stuff, you just have to be jokey. To me, that's what works for me. I tend to be kind of jokey and keep it light.
Jokey and forceful at the same time. It's a very, very.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You have to, I'm good about like, you know, giving direction while I'm like.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
And once you ride over there and people like go like, wow, you got that done so fast. Like you have no problem like about it. I'll just point to people and I'll say, the woman in the red dress, sorry, I don't know your name. And all moms and dads, I know your names, but right now you're just mom and dad, bride and groom. And that's
always the way for me. Mom, dad, uncle. I could never remember anybody's name. And I would say, I'm sorry. The only people's names I'm going to remember are the people who hired me and are giving me my check. I'll remember your names. You might still just be bride and groom. Bride, groom, don't be offended. It's just, I know these people need to be in there. So if I identify you as that person, I'm making sure that you're the right person in this shot.
Yes, yes. Oh, and one other bit of advice I give to people, uh-huh. I would give to people is after those post formals, because again, to me, that's like so chaotic. There's mm-hmm. so much stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Is that people... we've done in that moment there where you're like, oh, I don't even know like what I've just photographed. I don't know. Even though I have like a, you know, I stay with like, do everything like everybody who's related to the product. I have that little thing, I have to move. Then we go into the grooms, but still things happen. And they'll say, are we done? I said, hold on, let me ask my boss. Bride, here's what we got. Do you think we got everything? I said, because she's the boss.
Yep.
Sorry, dude.
Always.
You know this. And I'll say that. 'Cause I'm like,
he's just an accessory.
Exactly. I'm like, you know, you're just like, you're the accessory in this shot because this is really about her. And everybody's like, you're absolutely right. They all laugh because they know, because I don't have a hard time. I don't have a problem saying that. I'm like, or do you think we have everything? Can I let them go? Okay. We got everything. Cool.
That's good advice.
Go. And I think that's one bit of advice, is to kind of just, first of all, just maintain your sense of humor about it, because it can get really stressful where you just want to like,
yeah,
your head's exploding. Yeah. You don't know what's going on, but just find that center, or just yep. maintain that sense of that sense of humor, I think, is so important.
It is.
It's hard to find sometimes.
But. It is. And there are days, especially when it's super hot, you're running behind.
Oh.
And you just, all you want to do, you know, you haven't eaten anything and you haven't drank anything and you can get super cranky.
Oh, totally.
Keeping that energy level can be so, so hard, especially you just need one guest to be nasty to you.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
yes.
all it takes. Because generally, the bridal party and family are always going to be very nice. And you just need that one guest who's been mad at you since the ceremony because you stepped in their way. And you have no idea that they've
yes.
been steaming on
yes.
it for the last 5 hours. So, okay.
Yes.
Last questions.
Yes.
And then we're going to wrap up. I always like to ask, is zoom shooter or prime shooter? What are your go-to lenses and how do you like to shoot?
Oh, I'm totally Zoom.
Totally Zoom.
I'm totally Zoom. That's what I think when I was in college, I did I had all like a 50 millimeter and mm-hmm. a 24 millimeter and then I went to Zoom, and I think I shot medium format and I did not have Zoom, so those were prime lenses.
Those are super expensive. They existed, yeah, but they were rare.
Yeah, I was back in the day of I shot Bronica. I love square, but couldn't afford a Hasselblad, so I got the Bronica. So those I had prime lenses, but all my 35 millimeters have always been zoom lenses. I just find it's easier because then, like, if I'm shooting like the bouquet toss, I have the option where I can get the bride where she's mm-hmm. throwing it, and then I could just zoom right in because the zoom's going to be faster than my feet are going to be to get in closer for that. So
sure, yeah, and I think if you're And I agree with that. I think that if you're a solo shooter or if you're working with an associate like you would be at an OPG wedding, and you're somebody maybe you're not working with all the time, I think Zooms are really great because you don't have the opportunity. As a prime shooter, you're getting one angle and you're depending on somebody else to get the other angle. Whereas if you can't do that, that's where Zoom Zoom comes in. So gosh, I think we could I think we're gonna do another one of these down the road because we're 30 almost 37 minutes now and I like to keep them around 30. It's really great. Thank you for doing this. It's really great getting to know you. And again, from everybody at OPG, a special thank you is coming from them as well. Thank you so much for being here today.
I appreciate you asking. It's been an honor.
Yeah, you're welcome. Again, thank you. So, I don't know when we're going to release this, but it's right around the holidays. I got my Santa's helper on right after this call we're doing. I got this for the half marathon run that I did last week.
Because
the Jewish boy doesn't usually wear the Santa's helper hat, but
when
in Rome, I guess is my whole family is Christian, so I'm the lonely Jew in the house. But anyway, it's great getting to know you a little bit better. Thank you for being on this week's episode of Success Stories.
Thank you for
Take care
me.
Now. Okay, bye.
You too. Okay, bye bye.
All right, that'll do it for this episode featuring OPG's Best of the Best. Would you like to be featured in an upcoming episode? Or do you have a suggestion for somebody you'd like to hear from in our little community? Please email me, jakegroup@orionphotogroup.com. That's jakegroup@orionphotogroup.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing your suggestions. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to hearing from you and your story. That's it for now. We'll see you on the next episode. Have a great day.